X-29, number 10A.
Is this standpoint not exactly what we have been witnessing all through Genesis? It was always the standpoint of the divine principle, embracing consciously the ever flow of being. Thought has therefore traveled through Christian Science, absolute Christian Science, and divine science. But the fact is that these three are only three different aspects of the one science, the one and only science, which includes them all. Now this compound sense of science forms a still further aspect, the one taken in the next and last chapter, the apocalypse. The apocalypse. Now, viewing the operation of Christian Science, absolute Christian Science, and divine science as one operation, thought takes on the standpoint of science itself, of science reflecting science, the standpoint illustrated in the chapter, The Apocalypse. In science, principle operates infinitely as the idea of principle, and so lays bare the great fact that principle and idea operates as one. The apocalypse gives us a description of oneness in omni-action, that is, a big presentation of the one universal operation of principle in all dimensions of thought. Science is shown to operate on the level of Christian Science, absolute Christian Science, and divine science. Whenever we talk of these three levels of thought, we must always be very clear about the fact that they are not three different subjects separated from each other in watertight compartments, but are merely three different levels of thought, all dealing with the one science. They are but three views or aspects of science itself. If you view this science as applied to the human, thought is on the level of Christian Science. If you view this science as a computation of pure spiritual values, thought is on the level of absolute Christian Science. If you view this science as an interpretation of all it holds within itself, thought is on the level of divine science. But the essence of all three aspects is always the one science. Science is their common denominator. In the chapter, The Apocalypse, thought is first led in an ascending way of understanding, from Christian Science to absolute Christian Science, on to divine science, going uphill all the way. Thought treads the path of understanding, broadening and ever broadening as it rises in the scale of science. As the highest level of science is reached, Mrs. Eddy further presents this understanding as demonstration. The ascending path of understanding is then viewed in its complementary aspect as the descending way of demonstration. On this descending way, we witness how science translates itself as divine science, as absolute Christian Science, and as Christian Science. The omni-action of science is thus seen to include understanding and demonstration, operating on all levels of science. As you will have probably noticed, Mrs. Eddy does not give us in The Apocalypse a full exegesis of the book of Revelation. She has selected only a few verses and illustrations from it to serve her purpose, which is to pinpoint the main aspect of science. An exegesis of the whole book of Revelation is given by John W. Dorley in the verbatim report of his Oxford Summer School, 1948, Volume 2. He also indicated the layout of this chapter, The Apocalypse, in his verbatim report, number 63, on the science of the Bible. The Ascending Way of Understanding. Let me first show you how Mrs. Eddy illustrates the ascending way of understanding from Christian Science to absolute Christian Science up to divine science. First, in the ascending way, we get the level of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy starts with the vision of the mighty angel with the open book. The main subject is the book. Here, we have to remind ourselves that in the preceding visions in Revelation, the book was originally closed, sealed with seven seals, Revelation 5:1, until the Lamb was able to open the seven seals, Revelation 6:1-8:1. Revelation then gives the vision of the seven trumpets, Revelation 8:2-11:19. And it is with sounding of the sixth trumpet that we get the vision of the angel with the open book, the vision with which Mrs. Eddy starts her chapter. Here the book is opened, open for all to understand. What does the symbol of an angel with an open book mean? Mrs. Eddy always interprets angel as a heavenly thought. Thought, mind you, not idea. The book is a symbol of science. Here, the central subject of this vision is the appearing of scientific thought. The fact dawns here that the message from heaven is science, scientific thinking, not human thinking or moral thinking. As you study this passage, you will find that scientific thought, though it may come at first in a dim way, is full of promise. What is the promise? It is that God can be understood, that this understanding has a purifying influence, that everyone has access to it and can understand it, that it is always present because it reaches over continent and ocean, and that it destroys erroneous thinking. However, we must not halt at the promise. We must become scientific and win the promise. So Mrs. Eddy climaxes this vision by entreating us not only to behold the promise of scientific thought of the little book, but to make the little book our own. She writes, "Take divine science. Read this book from beginning to end. Study it. Ponder it." Science and Health, 559:20-21. For the first time, she urges us to read the textbook from beginning to end, to read it as one coherent story. And, as we have seen during these talks, the textbook begins to open the moment we accept it as one coherent story. Until we understand the structure of the book and its coherency in science, the textbook is not an open book. Mrs. Eddy urges us here not only to study, but to ponder the textbook. Only as we ponder what we have read and studied do we make the subject, science, our own. As Mrs. Eddy goes on to show, we have to eat the divine body of this principle, or in other words, to eat the textbook, to eat our way through the way of life. Until finally, as a climax, we are the living embodiment of the textbook. Then, instead of having a corporeal body as our structure, we, as principle's idea, are the embodiment of the divine structure, the very idea of science. In the next vision, taken from the 12th chapter of Revelation, the symbolism changes from an angel or scientific thought clothed with a cloud to woman clothed with the sun, or to idea clothed with the divine principle. From now on, the text teems with the term idea. What comes into focus now is the symbol of woman, which stands for the spiritual idea. It stands for the idea of divine oneness. From those few pages, you will see that woman stands for the idea of oneness, oneness in its many aspects, be it the oneness seen in the correlation of divine principle and idea, the oneness brought out through the coincidence of God and man, the oneness of generic man, which comprises manhood and womanhood, the oneness of the idea of motherhood, which is all-inclusive and embraces all ideas of God, or the oneness of universal harmonious activity. What does woman, the idea of divine oneness, involve? The text goes on to show that this idea is great. Why is it great? Because within this vision of infinite oneness, one bears the answer to all questions of life. One can give birth to every right idea. The woman is big with child. As long as we are woman and keep this idea of oneness awake in consciousness, the dragon, the sum total of human error, with all its malice and subtlety, can never perplex us and jeopardize the demonstration of the spiritual idea. The operation of the spiritual idea is completely safe. Then the text tells us that the woman brings forth a man-child, which is caught up unto God. The man-child symbolizes the idea of dominion over the human and material. The spiritual idea is thus seen to purify every situation, because it always reflects God. Further, we find that through the stage of wilderness, the spiritual idea takes care of every step of the way. The spiritual idea always guides and provides. Then we see that the spiritual idea has the power to destroy false claims, that it always reduces error to its native nothingness. The dragon is cast out. Finally, we can rest and abide in the knowledge that the spiritual idea bears in itself the impetus to fulfillment, be it through science or suffering. The spiritual idea brings salvation. The world is forced to accept the spiritual idea in its fullness. The earth helps the woman. So the great message from heaven is that there is a science of God which can be understood. The angel comes with the little book. By eating the book, by making this science our own, we embody the idea of principle and cannot help but operate like this principle and perceive everything as the operation of principle. Such an understanding of divine oneness is woman, and this idea of divine oneness operates as comprising all ideas, as being safe and meeting every sinful argument, as purifying every situation, as providing for every step of the way, as fighting the holy war victoriously by destroying error, and as enforcing universal salvation. This whole vision, you see, is on the plane of Christian Science, because the spiritual idea is here shown to free from a false sense of things, healing the sick and the sinning, and destroying sin, sickness, and death. from here, Mrs. Eddy jumps to the 21st chapter in Revelation and lifts thought to the level of absolute Christian Science, to that aspect of science which deals only with positive spiritual values, with divine ideas and their operation. Here the nothingness of matter is seen. The revelator sees a new heaven and a new earth, and there is no more sea, no more error. While so far the subject centered round scientific thought and idea, in absolute Christian Science the focus is on consciousness. A state of consciousness is always subjective. Hence, if we make the spiritual idea, woman, our own, that is, if we make it subjective, it remains with us, and we abide in it, and so it becomes a new state of consciousness. At that moment, we naturally and spontaneously view everything from a divinely subjective standpoint, and in that consciousness there is no more sea, no more error. It beholds only the new heaven and the new earth. Now, this divinely subjective consciousness is not something inherited through death, but is, as Mrs. Eddy says here, a present possibility. A possibility while we still tabernacle with mortals. As we have learned through the previous chapters, all is a matter of consciousness. Here we find the statement that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates states and stages of consciousness. Science and Health, 573, 10-12. So, even though in our present human state of existence we witness wars, crises, catastrophes, hate, malice, sickness, sin, and all the et ceteras of error, in consciousness we can dwell in a world free from all such evil. Nothing can hinder us from being conscious here and now that God is with men and that man is the blessed child of God. With spiritual consciousness we can meet the argument that there are two universes, a harmonious and an inharmonious one. Scientific consciousness classifies the erroneous universe as unreal and the divine universe as real, and thus establishes but one universe. This is symbolized through the angel with the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." The angel invites us to behold not the seven vials, the sum total of human misery, but the bride. That is, to look through error and behold an idea in its purity. At this stage, woman, who handles the dragon, the serpent, is lifted to the pure state of bride. At that stage, scientific, spiritual consciousness compensates the totality of error with the fullness of love's idea, establishing thereby but one universe. Then we behold an angel behind every experience. Having found on the level of absolute Christian Science that there is really only one universe, the universe of spiritual consciousness, we advance to a still higher vision of oneness, that of divine science, revealing that God and spiritual consciousness is one. Accepting the angel's invitation to be conscious of the spiritual idea everywhere, we are lifted still higher. The spiritual idea of oneness, which was first symbolized by woman, then by bride, is now symbolized by wife, the Lamb's wife, love wedded to its own spiritual idea. Science and Health 575, 3. At this point, we participate in the marriage feast, the feast when spiritual consciousness and God is one. Then, spiritual consciousness and God are so closely wedded to one another that they can only be perceived of as the infinite one, the one in infinite operation. There is never anything else going on but God operating as his own idea. It is most interesting to note that John the Revelator beheld the operation of the Infinite One as a city four square. As the operation of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Divine Science in unity and oneness. On this level, evil is right out of the picture. The descending way of demonstration. Having reached this climax of complete oneness with principle, consciousness now views the journey in the descending way as the demonstration of the Infinite One through divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. First, we get the descending way, the way of demonstration on the level of divine science. A sense of demonstration is at once felt in the text, for Mrs. Eddy goes on to explain the 12 gates of the holy city. As you know, 12 is always a symbol of perfect demonstration. Here the Infinite One is depicted bursting into expression as the revelation of the Word, North, as the translation of the Christ, East, as the reflection of Christianity, South, and as the interpretation of science, West, thus demonstrating itself as beautiful for situation. The descending way thus takes us to the level of absolute Christian science. Here Mrs. Eddy quotes from Revelation, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." We are again on the level of absolute Christian science, where matter is not taken into calculation. Man's structure is no longer regarded materially, but wholly spiritually. The Lamb's wife on the level of absolute Christian science now becomes the demonstration of man as a compounded spiritual individuality. As I indicated before, absolute Christian science is concerned with computing in consciousness positive spiritual values. And in the descending way, we get the demonstration of this calculus of ideas as man. Mrs. Eddy presents the method of computation immediately afterwards through what she terms the city of our God with its four cardinal points. The city four square is now translated to the point where it becomes the city of our God, where it can be consciously used as scientific metaphysics for the demonstration of man. In this city of our God, man is saved and cannot help but walk in the divine light. Thus, our descending way finally brings us to the level of Christian science. In Christian science, the vision of divine science is translated right down to the flesh, to human apprehension, where it meets the human need. Computing spiritual values in absolute Christian science enables us also intelligently to analyze, uncover, and annihilate the myriad beliefs of sin, disease, and death, and thus we arrive at the demonstration of Christian science in human affairs, whereby the Word is made flesh. Here, Mrs. Eddy cites the 23rd Psalm to illustrate how divine love meets every human need. Through this comforting psalm, she imparts the wonderful sense that there is, in fact, no situation where the oneness of being does not demonstrate itself. In spite of apparent human difficulties, the belief of a separation from God is completely wiped out. It is with this serene sense that we reach the end of the descending way, and with it also the end of the chapter. Reviewing the whole chapter, we can see that Mrs. Eddy is presenting the omni-action of the spiritual idea. She gives an exposition of how the idea of God operates infinitely as the idea of principle in science. This idea works on all levels of thought as understanding and demonstration. In the ascending way, the idea of principle first comes to us on the level of Christian Science as the scientific thought that God must be understood as science. The angel appears with the little book open. In the measure that we understand this science, we embody the idea of principle and so are freed from sin with its invisible and visible claims. This is illustrated by the woman. The spiritual idea then operates further to lift us quite naturally to the plane of absolute Christian Science, to the plane where in spiritual consciousness we can be one with the one and only reality, the divine reality, the new heaven and the new earth, and all this in spite of still living on a material plane of existence. Finally, the operation of the idea of principle exalts us still higher to the plane of divine science, to the understanding that spiritual consciousness is wedded to God. Thus, we, as the spiritual idea, perceive our oneness with being. On the descending way, the infinite one, principle wedded to principle's idea, demonstrates itself on the level of divine science as providing the right idea for every situation. Translated to the level of absolute Christian Science, this idea of infinite oneness demonstrates itself as incorporeal manhood, as an infinitely compounded spiritual individuality. Brought further down to the level of Christian Science, it demonstrates itself by meeting every human need. Thus, it is seen that the oneness of being operates on every plane of thought as understanding and demonstration. The message of the whole chapter is that there is never anything really happening except this oneness of being. Principle and idea is one. For the divine principle of being can be understood only through its idea. And when understood, the idea always speaks for its principle, bears witness to its principle, honors its principle, testifies to its principle. In short, it gives all it has and does and is back to its principle. Principle without its idea would be without a witness. Hence, principle's idea operates as the idea of the infinite principle, united with this infinite principle, wedded to this infinite principle, coincident with this infinite principle, correlated with this infinite principle, in fact, in every way one with this infinite principle. summary of the science chapters. Having dealt with the four chapters on science, I should like to give you an overall view of them. Through these chapters, the student is led to the recognition that principle and idea is one, that being is one. This theme pervades all the four chapters, and we find in them one big scientific explanation of this simple but profound statement.